Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. And Trey, this is it. We have come to the end of the NFL season. The Super Bowl is in the books. The Los Angeles Rams are your world champions. What a sentence that is to say. End Zone Podcast, joined by my great friend Trey Watkins. Per usual, Trey, the big game ends. Rams 23, Bengals 20. In a great Super Bowl, that's final quarter will probably go down as an all-time classic. Wow, what a game we just witnessed. A lot of stuff went on here. Where do you want to start here? I figured we could go in several different directions tonight. We could kind of talk a little bit about what happened during the game, but of course, everyone watched, so people know kind of the play-by-play breakdown that we sometimes do for other games. Like, people know what happened in this game. So we could start with legacies. We could start with some thoughts we had about the game. Where do you want to start tonight?
Man, I mean, you have to start with the notable Rams players who've been fighting all throughout their entire careers to get rings. They've scratched, they've clawed, they've been bruised, they've been beaten up. They've ran into so much disappointment, so much heartbreak throughout their careers. And now they finally have proof that their work was worth it in the end. I mean, first off, you had to start off with Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald has every possible accolade you could hope to accumulate as a defensive player in the National Football League. I mean, his dominance is unprecedented. He's won Defensive Player of the Year multiple times. He's been an All-Pro numerous times. He's been a Pro Bowl selection numerous times. And every single year he's been in the league, it's just been a consistent, steady amount of dominance from one of the best defensive players his game has ever seen. But the one thing that has eluded him throughout his career is just that one Super Bowl ring. And if you're thinking back to all the all-time greats, a lot of the all-time greats, you know, they don't have to have multiple Super Bowl rings, but they at least have one. Aaron Donald didn't have one coming into tonight's game. He missed his chance in 2018 when in that crapper of a Super Bowl against the New England Patriots. We didn't know if they would get there again. But then Les Snead, the Rams general manager, swung the trade. He brought in Matthew Stafford, and the Super Bowl hopes were back on. And, you know, as we saw tonight, Aaron Donald put on a show, especially in the second half. In that fourth quarter, he effectively ended the game, just cementing and putting another stamp on his, you know, 100% Hall of Fame career, ending the game and finally giving himself a chance to get a ring, you know. So that's really the biggest thing that I would probably take away from tonight is that Aaron Donald finally gets a ring, you know. But not just him, though. Matthew Stafford, he was stuck in Detroit all those years. I believe he only made the playoffs twice while he was there in Detroit. He played through so many injuries, played under so much dysfunction with that dysfunctional franchise. He finally gets a ring after getting shipped from Detroit to L.A. in the offseason. Odell Beckham Jr., he was one of the more polarizing athletes in all of sports during his years in New York. Gets shipped over to Cleveland, goes through a round of injuries, doesn't recapture the same form that he had in New York with the Cleveland Browns, gets released, goes over to L.A. He was contributing heavily in the game before he went down with a knee injury. He gets a ring. Andrew Whitworth, one of the more steady, long-time left tackles the league has seen in recent memory. He was with the Bengals for years, 11 seasons to be correct. He signed with the Rams in 2017. He didn't know if he was going to get a ring. He gets a ring. I mean, Jalen Ramsey, one of the best corners we've seen in the past half decade, two decades. He gets a ring. I mean, there's just so many polarizing stories on this Rams team, polarizing players, in fact, that they just haven't been able to get the chance to win the ring, and they got their chance and they got the ring. So, I mean, that's just something that you really, really respect. You can respect for a team full of so much talent, but full of veterans as well, as that guys who have had, you know, not the most comfortable of paths in the league. They finally got a chance to get the ring, and they got one. The one thing football players in the NFL dream about, go to the Super Bowl, winning it. So many players just don't get it. But those players that I mentioned who got there tonight, they got their ring, and they're cemented in history.
Glory always goes to the offensive guys. I get that. But to me, the biggest robbery I've ever seen is the fact that Aaron Donald did not win Super Bowl MVP.
Yes.
I mean, I understand that he only has three tackles in this game. I get that. But those three tackles were the biggest tackles and plays of this football game. One, a huge sack on Joe Burrow early. The second, he grabs Joe Mixon with one hand on the final drive and clogs a hole with literally one arm, drags him to the ground, a superhero-type effort. Like, who else can just stick an arm out and stop a running back? Like, we've never seen a defensive player outside of maybe Lawrence Taylor ever been able to do that in this league. And then the final play of the drive, sure, he gets it away, but they count it as a sack. Aaron Donald gets Joe Burrow in the grasp and ends the football game and wins the football game. And the Bengals were marching. And without Joe Burrow, I think the Bengals score, Aaron Donald, I think the Bengals score. To me, that was a huge robbery. To me, Aaron Donald is the Super Bowl MVP. And to me, that's what I'll remember about this Super Bowl. Is Aaron Donald. This is Aaron Donald's legacy. He has been the best defensive player and probably the best football player in the league, period, over the past 8 years. And tonight he finally gets a ring. And I mean, I know that sometimes I say things like, is this guy the greatest this and that of all time? And I throw that stuff around too loosely. I understand that. But I am a student of certain players in history. And one of the first things I did when I started watching football was talk to guys I respected, like the late Chris Wessling, who, you know, has been gone for a year now. And Chris was such a scholar of history, and he would tweet at me and tell me these players to go watch. And I remember very distinctly a few years ago during that Chiefs-Rams Monday night game, he told me, go look up Lawrence Taylor. And I went on a deep dive over the next few weeks of Lawrence Taylor and all his games. And I can safely say it is time to mention Aaron Donald in the same breath as that man. This may be the greatest defensive player in football history, because every time Lawrence Taylor stepped on the football field, it was a car crash for the offense. And it was a wrecked play. And it was a disaster for the quarterback and the offensive tackle. And that can be said the same thing for Aaron Donald now. I just think that he is going to go down in history. There are reports he might retire after this. To me, he is the greatest defensive player, Trey, that you and I have ever seen. He is the greatest defensive player of our generation, and he is in the same breath as Lawrence Taylor as one of the greatest that this game has ever seen, and that's pretty incredible to me.
No, and I wholeheartedly agree with you. There's been so many notable names on the defensive side of the ball in the NFL for the last decade plus. It's hard to just start, naming off names and everything, but me and you personally probably saw the tail end of Charles Woodson. We never got to see the crazy parts of Charles Woodson's career, but we saw the tail end of Charles Woodson. We heard the stories. We've seen the footage of him in his great playing days in the past. I at this moment in time, I can't really name up any sort of notable notable defensive players off my head. But yeah, I would wholeheartedly agree. Aaron Donald is probably the best defensive player this generation will probably ever witness. And that's no disrespect to Lawrence Taylor. That's no disrespect to the other crazy defensive players the NFL has seen walk through their doors and walk out. But for this generation, Aaron Donald has put together the most dominant stretch of play this generation has ever seen on the defensive side of the ball. And, if he does go out, they say if you would have rigged go out, what a way to end your career on top. But gosh, I hope he doesn't retire because I just want to see that man dominate every single year until, you know, he decides he just can't do it anymore. But like I said, if he does go out, what a way to go out on top after struggling to find that last thing that he wanted to check off his list, which was that ring. He finally got it tonight and he could walk away if he wanted to. So what a way for him to go out if he does go out indeed.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. Another defensive player to talk about that you didn't mention, but he's my guy. I mean, I gotta throw it to him. Von Miller, 2 sacks. I believe I saw the stat. He leads, he has the record for the most sacks in Super Bowl history. Between this and his Broncos MVP, Von Miller is also going to go down as one of the greatest defensive players of this generation. Probably not in the same breath as Lawrence Taylor, but certainly as a guy who has been at the top of his position as an edge rusher for his entire career. And to me, now 2 rings for him. I mean, this pretty much cements him as a first ballot Hall of Famer, I would say. No, we just had a moment there of Trey's editing excellence. No, I agree, Trey. You were basically saying that Von Miller is, one of these guys that's been a force ever since he's come into the league, and I totally agree with that. One thing I wanted to have some discussion on, and you said, you know, you got to pick out some different performances here. I mean, Jalen Ramsey, I know you mentioned him like as a guy that gets a ring here, and he's obviously deserving, but he got picked on tonight. Like the Bengals receivers pretty handily dominated Jalen Ramsey tonight. He got away with a few calls on his big plays. Jamar Chase toasted him once. T. Higgins got him a few times. Like, this was not a perfect game for Jalen Ramsey. I just want that to be stated for future posterity. That would be my one Jalen Ramsey comment on this game. He was not the game changer he normally is.
No, and yeah, I think to be fair on some of the plays that he did get beat, on that T. Higgins touchdown, I believe was one of the first plays of the second half, he did get, slapped in the face mask and OPI wasn't called, so I don't want to really put that on him. But on that, that Jamar Chase long touchdown catch, or not touchdown catch, but long catch in the first half, Jalen Ramsey just lost the ball in the air and lost Jamar Chase in coverage. Jamar Chase just made a really good play, especially in the second half as well. It was on the Bengals' final drive. Jamar Chase got a big play where Jalen Ramsey should have just stacked up and he should have settled for tackling Jamar Chase instead of trying to cut off the route for a big play. Should have just stacked up, tackled Jamar Chase, and that 42, or not 42, but that big play from Jamar Chase on the Bengals' last play of the game wouldn't have been as big of a play as it was. But yeah, the Bengals did somewhat target him a lot. And I think that's probably been the one thing, the downfield sort of coverage aspect of him. I think that's the one thing that's sort of been somewhat of a weakness. He isn't bad at covering and tracking for deep throws down the field, but that's something that he isn't as good at as compared to his physicality as a tackler, or how he can really, shut down on the short stuff, the intermediate stuff, and really cause some frustration for opposing wide receivers. But yeah, the Bengals did pick on him, but in the end, he's the last one laughing with the ring. So,
yeah, let's switch over to, well, before we hit the offense, Eric Weddle. I mean, what a career. Long, winding, several different teams, came out of retirement, got hurt in this game. Maybe wasn't the biggest impact guy, but still had four tackles. Gets a ring. Eric Weddle with a ring with his career. He's not a first Hall of Famer, but I would say he's going to get into Canton someday.
Maybe. Maybe. I mean, the career that he's had, and maybe he wasn't the most notable defensive player, but he was one that I think he, his name and his reputation alone, was respectable among coaches, media, players. He had a respectable career. Just a story that he had, you know, of him coming back 2 years into retirement. The Rams give him a call because they have some problems with injuries in the secondary. They ask him to come on, get them some snaps, plays a significant amount of snaps throughout the playoffs, gets the green dot in the Super Bowl with speeds. He's the defensive play caller in the huddle on the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, he even plays hurt. He plays with a really bummed up shoulder because I don't know if people saw. Well, probably people saw, but it was a tackle earlier on in the game where Eric Weddle, I believe he was going for a tackle on one of the Bengals skill position players. He came up hurting his shoulder. He kept on holding on to his shoulder until that drive, you know, ended. Went over to the sideline, got a harness, came back in and played as many snaps as he could for the rest of the game. So I'm not a good judge, you know, of Hall of Fame sort of what's the word I'm looking for? Legitimacy, unless it's completely obvious. But I think I would tend to agree with you. I maybe, you know, if he does get into Canton, then I wouldn't be surprised because his career was just that respectable among players, media, and coaches alike.
Yeah. That'll be an interesting one to see. The offense, let's start with Odell Beckham. That's a huge moment in this game. I mean, Odell controls the first half for the most part. Like, he comes out, he has that great touchdown catch. He makes several big catches in the first half, was a huge part of the Rams offense, really, from the beginning. He gets two big receptions, 52 yards, and a touchdown. And then buckles his knee going into halftime, never comes back. That's a huge injury for the Rams, and if they lose this game, he is probably solely the reason that their offense goes in the tank and never comes back if Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford don't show up. But Odell's had such a winding career going from New York to Cleveland. He's been kind of portrayed as a ne'er-do-well, but he has a different story to tell. Lots of people feel lots of different ways about Odell Beckham, but I've got to admit, I'm kind of happy that he's got a Super Bowl ring. He was the best wide receiver in the league for a short time and at the top of the game for several years in New York, kind of disappeared in Cleveland. But he came back, and he was a meaningful reason that the Rams even got to this game. Like, his playoff run this year was pretty legendary stuff. I mean, this has been a good situation for Odell Beckham. And I know that he'll probably want more money, but if he was smart, he'd take a discount and stay here in Los Angeles. I think it's the perfect fit for him.
Oh yeah, it is the perfect fit. He's with the quarterback here that started to trust him a lot more, especially in the playoffs. It's with the coach that really, you know, wants to give him the ball, recognizes his talents. He's in an offense that could really take advantage of his talents, you know, when it comes to getting yards after the catch, when it comes to making big plays in the open field. So, Odell has spoke about, you know, Los Angeles, you know, specifically the Rams being the perfect situation for him because of all those things. So, I think, you know, in all honesty, he ends up back in LA because that's where he is. LA, he loves LA, apparently. The Rams love him, so that's probably the likeliest, you know, spot where he's going to end up once his free agency sort of tenure winds down later on in the spring. But yeah, just to talk about the journey that he had, you know, putting up all those numbers in New York, becoming a star, suffering through some injuries once he got traded to Cleveland, got out of Cleveland, came over to L.A., really started putting up some more decent numbers as the season went on and as Matthew Stafford started to trust him more. You could see it throughout the game. Once Odell Beckham Jr. went down, the shoulders really, or the responsibility of generating success in the pass game really fell on the shoulders of Cooper Kupp and Van Jefferson mostly. And, you know, for the most part, Cooper Kupp was being doubled throughout the game. He woke up in the fourth quarter. But Van Jefferson just couldn't really get anything going. I guess that opened some things up for some of the other guys, specifically their tight ends, Hopkins. I'm not remembering his first name, but son of Titans legend Brad Hopkins. He got some big plays there as well.
Bryson Hopkins,
yeah. He made some big plays as well. And I keep forgetting his name, number 18. It's a hard name to pronounce, man. It's
Skowronek.
Whatever his name is, man.
I want to say that's right. But also he had like a pretty critical drop. I would not say he had a good game.
No, like, I don't think he had a good game either.
He is almost the reason they lost. Like he tipped the ball right to the Bengals. That like this is a good moment to talk about what the Bengals did in this game, because even though the Rams controlled it in that first half, the third quarter belonged to the Bengals. I mean, they got two big turnovers that they forced off Matthew Stafford. They were able to convert and score some touchdowns. Joe Burrow has a huge 75-yard pass to open, touchdown pass to open the second half. It felt at that moment like the game had flipped, like the Bengals were in total control. Like, this was a story about the Rams defense overcoming that and coming back. And that even makes it more impressive, because it did feel like there were points in this game where Joe Burrow had this game under control.
Oh, there were plenty of points in the second half where it seemed like that was the case, especially in the third quarter, because the Rams just couldn't get anything going offensively. Sean McVay was almost tanking his old team into the ground because his play calling was out of order. It's out of whack. It was weird. The Bengals defense was playing some really, really good defense throughout that stretch, but I don't know. I don't know what happened for the Bengals, and it sucks for them, because for the most part, they did play some good football. Aside from getting punched in the mouth early on in the game, they settled in. They really clamped down on the run game. The Rams couldn't get anything going in the run game at all, and that just goes to show how good of a run defense they've been all season long. And it's legit. They're top ranking as a run defense. It's legit, and they were there for a reason. But they just couldn't get the plays when they needed them, especially in the second half. So it sucks for them. You hate to say they'll be back, because we say that with so many teams that are full of young talent, because there are so many things that have to go right for a team to not only just, you know, navigate through a season successfully, but to get to the playoffs, get through the playoffs, get to the Super Bowl, and even win a Super Bowl. So, I don't know what you can really say about the Bengals other than the fact that this run that they had this season was special. It was fun to watch, you know, from the outside at times, especially the magic with Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow, Tyler Boyd, Joe Mixon, T. Higgins, and that defense that really came together as the season went on. So sucks for them. Real good season, real good memorable season for them, especially for their fans who have had to suffer through so much stuff, you know, negative wise in recent memory. So, but it sucks for them. They did some good things, but ultimately just wasn't enough in the end.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. You want to say Joe Burrow's going to be back here, but the AFC is going to be such a gauntlet for the next 5-6 years. Like, the Chargers have a quarterback and a lot of money to spend. The Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes and their weapons already locked down. the Bills are a team that's built to contend for the next 2 to 3 years before they really run into salary cap issues. For Ravens, you got to think Lamar Jackson wants his shot at this thing. Like, this is an extremely tough conference. And I don't know, Trey. I don't know if Joe Burrow is going to be back soon. But I know he'll be back at some point. He's been good enough to get a team here once. I think he gets at least one more shot with a different team. But, you know, we've seen it with guys like Aaron Rodgers. Like, you can get here, but it's tough to get back. And guys like Patrick Mahomes and, you know, Tom Brady spoiled that. But even Patrick Mahomes proves the point. Like, we all thought Patrick Mahomes would be back here this year. He's not. Like, it's extremely difficult to – it is extremely difficult to get to the Super Bowl. And it sucks that the Bengals couldn't take their opportunity. This is a very disappointing loss for them and their fans. Cooper Kupp, we talked about him a little bit before, but, I mean, 8 receptions, 92 yards, 2 receiving touchdowns. I still feel Donald should have been the MVP of the game just because he made the plays that kept the Bengals out, and the Bengals were going to score if Aaron Donald was not on that field. I truly believe that. But, I mean, Cooper Kupp. Yeah, I mean, they double-teamed him. They triple-teamed him. You still could not stop him. I mean, he is... I kind of disagreed with the statement over the past few weeks with the fact that he's the best wide receiver in the NFL, because I like Devontae Adams a lot. But after watching this game, I really don't think there's an argument to be made. He is the best wide receiver in the NFL.
And that's a fair assessment, especially after seeing how he literally took over the game in the fourth quarter. And that was literally what went down. You know, like we said earlier, the Bengals really clamping down on him and really preventing him from making an impact in the game or on the game through the first three quarters, except for that touchdown that he had in the first half. But aside from that, there just wasn't really anything going on for Cooper Kupp until the fourth quarter, specifically that last drive when Cooper Kupp started getting into a rhythm. He started finding holes in the zone of the Bengals defense, and he just did what he's been doing all year, which is making plays and doing his thing. So yeah, I do disagree that he disagree with him being named MVP. I think it deserves to be either Matthew Stafford or even most notably Aaron Donald. That was my pick. He should have been MVP, but What a ride for him this year. I don't think anybody expected the season that he had, or anybody expected him to have the season that he had. We all knew he was good. We all knew he was good. But to have the season that he had, coming close to breaking some of the more immaculate wide receiver records we've seen, and just coasting on that all the way through the playoffs to the Super Bowl, making plays when it mattered most, That's a big time football player making big time plays during big time moments, man. So you can only respect him for getting a ring and deserving of it, as well. So
yeah, absolutely. Darrell Henderson, I'd like to shout him out. I know 3 catches, but it felt like in big moments he came up as a tertiary weapon for the Rams when Odell went out. Like, he showed up and he really showed his value in this game where, I mean, Cam Akers, I mean, sure, he gets 13 touches, but he did not have a good time running the football tonight. But the Bengals defense was very effective at stopping the run, and he didn't really provide anything in the passing game. And that kind of relegated him to the bench for most of the second half. So that's one interesting thing to track this offseason, is what that Rams backfield looks like going forward. Because for as good as we think Cam Akers can be, he has not looked the same coming off the injury. He just hasn't.
And, you know, maybe that's to be expected because it's an Achilles injury. You know, modern medicine has come a long way. We've seen guys come off torn ACLs and look completely the same. But the one injury that really just modern medicine just doesn't really have an answer for right now is the Achilles tear, you know, ruptured Achilles, because Achilles tears could really just warp you and sap athleticism that you might have had previously. I think the one notable example of that, just going over to the NBA, DeMarcus Cousins. DeMarcus Cousins was one of the more dominant NBA players I've ever seen, but he ruptured his Achilles and his career took a trend for the worse. So Achilles injuries could really kill you, you know, not just because of all the rehab and everything, but they can just literally take away your athleticism that you once had. So I still don't think Cam Akers looked entirely awful. I still think he looked decent, but I would tend to agree that he, you know, didn't look the same, you know, compared to pre-injury. So he'll have more time to rest and rehab over the offseason and really try to get back as soon as possible, try to get back to the form that he once was. But yeah, I agree. He didn't really look the same as the Cam Akers that many people were high on coming into the season.
Absolutely. All right, Trey, let's talk about it. Let's talk about the quarterback. All right, today, right now, Trey, at this moment, Matthew Stafford, completion percentage in his career, 63%, 49,995 yards. 323 touchdowns, 161 interceptions. A Super Bowl win. Let me pull up his awards here. I need leaderboards, awards, and honors. Awards. AP Comeback Player of the Year 1 year. But still, despite those numbers, never an official vote to the Pro Bowl or an All-Pro, which is surprising. I'm looking deeper at his Pro Football Reference, but he still doesn't have those accolades. He just has a bunch of NFL top 100s listed, which, okay, cool, but that's not the... That's not the official awards ranking. If you are asked today, if he walks away from the game today, is Matthew Stafford a Hall of Famer?
That's hard. See, and it just goes back to what I said earlier. I'm not a good judge of these cases unless it's completely obvious. Like, I can say Tom Brady's a Hall of Famer. I can say Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Famer. I could say Aaron Donald is a Hall of Famer. Like, if these cases aren't overly like obvious to me, that it's hard for me to judge. I don't know. I mean, it's hard because Hall of Fame voters can't really look past his tenure in Detroit. Not a lot of playoff appearances. He did put up a lot of numbers in terms of touchdowns, passing yards, all that jazz, but you can't look past the low number of playoff appearances, can't look past the lack of consistency in terms of winning, man. So if he can win another ring or two, then I think he'll be under serious consideration. But at this point, I would say he's not really a Hall of Famer. Take that with a grain of salt, as I said earlier, I'm not a good judge. In terms of Hall of Fame cases, if they're not overly obvious. But to me, at this point in time, I don't think Matthew Stafford's a Hall of Famer. That can change, but I just don't think he's, you know, a Hall of Famer at this point in time.
Let's take a break. Trey, unfortunately, the reality of human life is that someday we will all pass on. No one wants to think about it. It's an uncomfortable topic. But it's important to take care of you and your loved ones when that day comes.
That's right, Eric. Fortunately for our listeners, we know of a great guy that can help you set up your wills and trusts.
Absolutely, Trey. Our friend Andrew McCullough has you covered. You can find him on Twitter at AMCCULLOUGH105. His DMs are open, and he and the folks at Brindley Sullivan can help you take care of you and your family's estate planning needs. Don't just take our word for it, though. Here is University of Utah star and current draft prospect, Britton Covey, to tell us more.
Hey guys, Britton Covey here. As my long time at the University of Utah is coming to a close, it's time for me to start thinking about my future. There's no one I trust more than Andrew McCullough at the firm of Brindley Sullivan for my estate planning needs. Give his office a call to set up a free consultation at 435-673-9220. Andrew's firm is headquartered in St. George, but he spends plenty of time along the Wasatch Front taking care of his needs. So call him and tell him that Britton Covey sent you.
More info at trustyourtrust.com.
All right, welcome back. All right, Trey, a few things before we leave here to wrap up. For one, I'd like to take a moment to laugh. To laugh, to chuckle. Eli Apple. Oh, man. Just laugh with me for just a moment, Trey. Just chuckle. Eli Apple. Eli Apple, man. Oh, man. That guy's funny. He thought he was actually good at football. Eli Apple was largely torched for the entire night. Probably one of the worst defensive back performances ever. One of the greatest sporting like examples of someone talking just tremendous amounts of shit and then just never backing it up that I've ever seen in my entire life. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Nah, like throughout the offseason or throughout the playoffs, I don't think I've been more turned off by one player, you know, like Eli Apple. That guy was literally getting toasted and roasted every single playoff game, except probably the Raiders game that he had. But in the other games, he got toasted every single time there was an opportunity for him to get toasted. And he still came on Twitter talking crap without a care in the world. And people kept telling him, if you lose a playoff game or if you don't deliver and get a ring, you're going to get flamed. You're going to get destroyed. And that's what's happening right now currently on Twitter. NFL, it's not just this regular fans either. NFL players are coming out, and you normally just don't see this for NFL players, even in this age of social media. NFL players are personally coming on their own pages and roasting the living heck out this dude, man.
Dunk of the night. Dunk of the night comes from Mecole Hardman at Eli Apple. Wish he was a better corner, bro. Then the game-winning touchdown wouldn't have been scored against you.
Yeah, and did he had
another? That is a tweet. That's a tweet that came from one NFL player to another NFL player. Like in the media, these guys don't even like say anything bad about each other because they respect each other so much.
Yeah, but
Mecole Hardman literally typed out, "Wish he was a better corner, bro." Then the game-winning touchdown wouldn't have been scored on you. That's crazy. That shows you how little the entire league respects this guy. I mean, it is absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, and then he posted another tweet with a video of him showing off his Super Bowl ring for when the Chiefs won in 2019, saying, "It's cool, big bro. You might get one of these one day, but in the meantime, just go get better at your craft." That's I don't think you could really like defend yourself against that. Like I said, you talked all the crap. Then you come out and get flamed in the Super Bowl. You didn't play a good game. And then you lost. You lost. So this is what happens. I think this is what you can call karma at this point. This is karma. This is karma. This is what people define karma as. 100%.
Karma indeed. Widely speaking, like, Not a lot of things just get straight love on social media. If you are old enough to use social media from the younger people that use it, like me and Trey, all the way up to some of these older professionals that use it who are between the ages of like 40 and I would say like 65. The response was totally positive. I saw Prince live. I wasn't there, but like I saw it on TV. I like Prince. My mom likes Prince. I have a personal connection to that just because my mom loves it so much and hypes it up. And it was really cool with the rain and the ambiance. But this has got to be the best Super Bowl show since that. I mean, it was awesome from start to finish. I really enjoyed it.
No, I did as well. And, you know, people might say that nostalgia carried it, but honestly, I don't care. I literally do not care. I grew up listening.
Dude, when 50 was hanging upside down on the ceiling. Oh, my God.
Just playing his old classics, man. I mean, look, these are the hits that, you know, not just I grew up listening to, but millions of people grew up listening to. They, all of them individually might not have the same star power as a Prince or as a Michael Jackson or maybe even a Beyonce. But doggone it, those five people together, six if you count 50 Cent, Miss Seven if you count Anderson .Paak with the way he was doing his thing on the drums, their Eminem set. That's just a halftime show you just don't see every so often. Well, not every so often. That's something you just don't see, period. That's a crazy amount of star power. And it sucked it was only for like 14 minutes, man. That's a show that could have gone on for hours, man, because they have all those five to seven people combined have so many hits, so many good songs that whole concert halftime show could have went on for hours. Nobody would have cared. So that was an enjoyable experience for me and probably for a lot of other people who watched it. And I'm glad I got to experience it because that's something that, who knows, we might not ever see again. In all honesty.
Yeah, was super cool. Great. I mean, fit the state just perfectly. Anderson .Paak was there on the drums. That was a wild cameo. It was just a lot of fun. All right, Trey. The number one question I hate is from like people I know and my parents and my people that know I like football is after the Super Bowl, they'll say, well, who's going to be in the Super Bowl next year? We couldn't possibly even make a good guess right now just because of everything's going to change within the next like 4 months. Like, I'll ask you for the first time who you think is going to win the Super Bowl next year, Trey, when the draft ends. Deal? You cool with that?
That's the deal, because I couldn't even give you a straight answer right now.
But I do have a fun thing to play. I want to make an ice cream sandwich bet to close the night. So here we go. I'm going to read you a list of Rams home opponents. I'll give you three to pick from that I think are the most likely to start as next year's season opener on the schedule. And you tell me who you want, and I'll pick one too, and we'll see who comes out on top here. Deal?
Good deal.
Okay. I think one of them's the San Francisco 49ers. Trey Lance will be the starter, new quarterback. Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay matchup, classic rivalry right now. That'll be a ratings bonanza. Yes, that's on there. Two, I mean, if they're on your schedule, they're going to be in the contention for opening night, the Dallas Cowboys, especially because expectations for them are going to be sky high this offseason. I can already tell you right now, a lot of people in April are going to be talking about the Dallas Cowboys as potential Super Bowl contenders when we wrap up the whole draft thing. And then three, the Buffalo Bills. I will let you pick first here because you are my gracious co-host. Out of those three, who do you think the opener is on Sunday Night Football? And I'll throw in a really super wild card, the Denver Broncos.
Interesting. I'll start off with actually who I want. I want the Bills. I want the Bills. I could care less about what the NFL wants. I want the Buffalo Bills versus the Los Angeles Rams to open up the season. That's literally one of the more, you know, high-powered, you know, matchups for the NFL during the 2022 season. So I want the Bills. They'll probably save the Rams-Bills matchup for a high marquee Sunday night football, Monday night football, maybe even Thursday night football. Please, I hope not. maybe a high marquee primetime game later on in the season, or they might just cave in and they might make it a marquee afternoon game, which I don't want that. I want it on primetime. So what I want is Rams versus Bills on opening night. What I think they'll do is the 49ers. That's a decent enough opponent to the point where, you know.
So which one are you taking here?
Which one do I think the NFL will go with?
Well, who do you want to stake your ice cream sandwich on? Go with your heart.
With my heart, what I think the NFL will do, I think they'll go 49ers. I think they'll go 49ers. Easy enough opponent.
Man, I want 49ers.
New quarterback. It's a rivalry. First off, it's a rivalry. New right. quarterback, Shanahan versus McVay again. That's a decent, well, not just decent, that's a pretty good opening night matchup, if I do say so myself.
Okay, well, if you're going there, I agree with you. I think I'll save the Bills game for later in the season. I'll go Cowboys. I think that the NFL loves nothing more than to put Dallas on opening night. So I'll go Dallas there. All right, Trey. Before we thank the listeners, I got to thank you. Thanks for hanging out with me this season. Sure. I know that with school and everything, it's tough. I think we're both graduating this year. Who knows what the future holds? I hope when we graduate, even if we both get real jobs, we can still find a way to once a week sit down and do this, because I truly do have a lot of fun doing this with you. So thank you so much for giving me so much of your time this year. I'm very grateful to have you as a friend and as a co-host.
No problem, man. I'm not actually graduating this semester. I think I have another year, I believe. Just do some things that I had to do in the past, but I think I have another year. But yeah, I'll always have time. I'll have time to come on here, talk some football, because the NFL is never boring. It's never boring. There's always going to be a good game to talk about. Trying to keep you from talking for 10 minutes at a time. I don't know who else would take over that job, man. So
somebody's got to keep me in check. Somebody's got to crack the whip.
But yeah, I'm coming back, and I hopefully, God willing, will be ready to talk some more about a 2022 NFL season, man. So it's been fun this year.
Absolutely. And we appreciate everyone. And, you know, I know we put out less content than usual this year. We've both been busy. Maybe next year when I have more time, we'll do an episode where I bring on a guest, and we'll have a Trey episode, and we'll have a guest and a Trey episode every week. But for right now, we're going to stick with one a week. To our listeners, which there are like 20 of you, thank you so much. We, you know, appreciate you listening. Please keep listening. You know, we do this for fun. We do this for the love of the game. We do this because maybe someday it'll help us out on a resume, and also just because we like doing it. So for anyone who gives us even a little bit of time here and there, you know, we really appreciate you. Thank you very much. And with that, Trey, I think it's time to walk people through the off season. I mean, I feel like you're gonna do the heavy lifting here. I owe you some Slurpee money or something, because you're gonna get this posted tonight. We'll share it all around next week. We're gonna take a week off. We won't have a show this week. We will tweet out when we're coming back. I think Trey, looking at some of these dates, I think the 27th looks like a good day to maybe come back, because that's right before the combine starts. We could get a nice little guest on, start talking about some draft prospects a little bit. We got to do some serious off-season heavy lifting, talking about free agency and stuff. So maybe even a two-show week that week, who knows? But, you know, we're going to do the same stuff we normally do. We'll stay kind of quiet. We'll pick up around free agency. We'll pick up around the draft, and then we'll go kind of quiet and take our breaks in May and June. So until 2 weeks from now, thank you so much for listening. Trey, any final words for the listeners?
Just want to thank you guys for listening, even though our content schedule was pretty inconsistent. But when we did find the time, we did put content out, and hopefully we're proud of what we did put out this season. So hopefully you guys will come back for us, not just next season, but throughout the offseason, free agency, the draft. We'll certainly be putting out content then, but certainly once the NFL season starts, we'll be hopefully right back to doing it all over again, and we hope you guys join us. So once again, thank you, and we hope you guys join us once the 2022 season starts.
Indeed. All right, stick with us through the off season. We always have more fun, lots more guests too. Anyhow, thank you so much for listening again. A final 23-20, the Los Angeles Rams are Super Bowl champions. Until the off season, we'll see y'all later.